What's the point? What's the point of all this? What's the point of church? What's the point of faith? What's the point of life? Has anybody here ever asked any of those questions before? Has anybody here asked them this morning? Yeah, come on, they're all real questions, right? What's the point? Why bother? Have you ever asked that one? Why bother? Today it's all about prayer, and I'm going to count to three, and I want you to yell out, when I say the word prayer, the first thing that comes to mind. You ready for this? The first thing, one, two, three, prayer. Okay, some of y'all are holy. You yell Jesus. But most of the time, it's like boring. Useless. It's all these other things. And can you imagine sometimes, I think sometimes we do prayer an injustice with all these cliches. I'm praying for you. My thoughts and prayers are with you. Have anybody heard that one? And you're like, sometimes you don't need thoughts and prayers, you need money. Right? Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, Jesus, how about somebody comes to him for a need, they're paralyzed, and he goes, hey man, thoughts and prayers with you. That seemed very uncaring, wouldn't it? This is the one that gets me the most of all. The one that gets me the most is, and I see this posted a lot. Somebody will say, I have a need, I need prayer, I need God to show up. And they'll say, sending good vibes and energy to you. I don't know about you, but that irritates the heaven out of me. Because I don't know what good vibes and energy are. I'm really not. That's mysticism, and that's all those other things. And so today we're trying to figure out that Jesus doesn't need, Jesus nor we need a clever bumper sticker or another meme or a hashtag. What we want to know is, what's the point of prayer? And in this whole series, we're unwrapping, what's the point of all this? And if I say anything good today, it's because your campus pastor, Pastor Ben, prepared these notes. And he was nice enough to help me get better, because that's what he helps you do, right? And so he's helped. Now, if it's not good, it's because I screwed it up. And I'm good with that. I'll own that. But let's give Pastor Ben and Melanie a great big hand. Come on, you guys are doing a great, great job. So thankful for you. So thankful for all that's happening here. And so what's the point of all this? So what's the point of prayer? This is what we're going to try to uncover here. It's a presence that brings peace. It's a perspective change. God gives provision through prayer and power. So it's all of these things. There's a presence, and there's a perspective, and a provision, and a power, and all these things. Now, unfortunately, when we say the word prayer, and we say, okay, we're going to have a prayer meeting, we all get an image in our minds. We all get like prayer warriors. And this is the image that we all get. Let's have that image right there. Like, this is the image we get right here. We get like, there's Zena, and she has a tambourine in her hand. And there's this like, we use this term in church a lot. Like, we're going to get the prayer warriors to pray for that. And it's like, we have this image in our head, like, what's a prayer warrior? How do you get to become one? Okay, because we're all able to pray. We're all welcome to pray to God. But we have this image in our mind of this certain kind of person that they have an inside track to God, and then there's the rest of us. Am I right? There's those people, and then there's us. Those people really know how to pray. They get their answers, and I get what I get. Am I right? And so what's the struggle here? What really is the point of prayer? How do we wrestle through this here? Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Crises that normally brings a need for prayer. Am I right? As soon as there's a crisis, you find somebody that's more spiritual than you. Am I right? Somebody that's a little more holy than you are. And we say, will you pray for me? And then they give you the papal, yeah, I'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers with you. But what does that mean to pray for you? What does that mean? How do we do this here? So let me just tell you this. We argue over prayer in schools all the time. As long as there are still tests, there will be prayer in school. Come on, somebody. There's going to be prayer in school. As long as there's tests, there's going to be kids making deals with God before the test. Come on, how many of you all made a deal with God before a test or two? Come on. Yeah, that's right. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. That's the truth. So we're going to read some verses here. We're going to go through five verses here. It needs to have a lot more no's than yeses here, but Matthew 6, 5 through 8, and these are red letters, red letters. These are Jesus' words. This is from the Bible. This is from the Bible we're reading right now. And when you pray, what did Jesus say? What's those first three words? Say it out loud. What's those first three words? When you pray, not if you get around to praying. So when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that they will get their reward, the best reward they ever get. And then here, verse 8, but, come on, you got to say, but, yeah, here we go. When you pray, okay, when you pray, okay, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and to pray your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So these have a lot of like, don't do this and don't do that. These have a lot of don't do's there. Like, don't do this way, don't do it that way, don't do it this way. Jesus is saying because his disciples saw a lot of people doing it a certain way. And then he had a different thing that he was trying to impart to them here. And so here we have, there's a lot of misconceptions about prayer. There's a lot of misconceptions about prayer, whole bunches of them. And it's like prayer is only about getting what you want. Whatever you want, you just ask Jesus and he'll give it to you here. Another one, you got to sound like formal. Have you ever met somebody and they got their normal voice and then they got their prayer voice? They got like their normal talk to you voice. Hey man, how you doing? And then it's time to pray. I'm like, Lord, thy lordeth, thy goddeth. We ask you today to bless us this mealeth. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like we think that it has to be formal or some type of like special way. And that's a misconception. You don't need a prayer voice. Okay, you just need a voice. Okay? I'm just trying to help you here. And if God does not answer quickly, God is not listening. There's one. You know, sometimes we treat prayer like Instacart. How many of you ever used Instacart to get groceries? Boy, you don't do that. You guys, y'all go to the store. You probably save money. Okay, that's good. Yesterday, we were in a time crunch. Said, okay, we got to get some things from the store. So we immediately went through Instacart, just started picking everything we wanted, picking what we want. And then it came, and we were looking at some of the items last night, and they were the right item, but they weren't like what I would have picked. Have you ever noticed nobody ever shops like you? Even if you're married, you really know this, okay? You could write a book on this, okay? But like nobody ever does, and so we got some items, and I always wonder myself, like I put in this order, and I expected the best, and they gave me this. Like half the cucumber's good and the other half needs thrown away. Okay, I think they thought, I'm not gonna see this person, let's give them this one, okay? That's what they do, I'm convinced. But we treat prayer like Instacart, just go through, click away, and God will give you what you want immediately. If he doesn't give you what you want, it doesn't come to your door. When they told you it was gonna be there, we get upset, am I right? Do you not pray? Do you ever ask Jesus for things and not get them? Yeah, because this is a misconception. These are things that we think here, and that prayer is a one-way conversation here, and a prayer wants to change my circumstances. These are all misconceptions here. Okay, Jesus' disciples, they're walking with him. You're tracking me. They're walking with him, doing life with him. And in Luke chapter 11, they say to him here, they say, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. See, he was in a certain place praying, and when he finished, out of all the things they could ask Jesus to teach them, isn't it interesting? They said, can you teach us how to pray? Now, I want you to track this. Like, teach us how you do that. There must have been something about the way he did it that was different than the way everybody else was doing it. I want you to picture that. See, maybe it looked like he was happy doing it. Maybe he looked like he was, like, joyful. Maybe it wasn't just a routine or a ritual or religion. Maybe he just looked like there was something about it because they were good Jewish boys at that point. They would have been taught how to pray. They would have been taught, but they didn't. They knew, they saw him and something was different. something was different. He prays differently. And so they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray here. See, he had joy. He had meaning here. And so then we're gonna read some verses here. Now, how many of y'all need taught how to pray? How many of you are praying too much and need to dial it down? Here we go. I need to dial it down a little bit. Yeah. No, but we need taught to pray. So we're going to read some verses in Matthew chapter 6, okay, known as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Doesn't that sound holy? Now, I don't know about you. I grew up a good Catholic boy. And so when I read these verses here, I can't do them sitting down, okay? Stand to your feet with me. We're going to read this out loud together today. You're going to help me out here. You're going to help me out. Now, we're going to find out who's religious at the end. I'm going to tell you how you know if you're religious or not. Can y'all see the screen there? Can y'all see those red letters? See, Jesus wasn't giving us something to recite. He was teaching us something. And Jesus is going to teach you something today. How many of you are teachable? Okay, very good. For those listening at home, everybody here, very good. Okay, y'all ready? You're going to say this out loud, like with your voice. Because when you pray, it is different than when you meditate. There's a difference between meditation and prayer, because prayer requires a voice. You got to catch that. Meditation's good, but prayer is always out loud. Okay, that's how we have it recorded. But this, Jesus, you ready? Are you ready? How many of y'all are ready? Okay, here we go. Pray then like this, out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know you guys want to finish the next verse there. Yeah. Now, every time I was practicing this, and every time I was like, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I was like, now, I was watching to see how many grew up in Catholic, because you just you got to throw, I can see some heads nodding. You had to fight it, huh? Good. Y'all can be seated there, okay? So Jesus didn't just give us a 15, 20 second something to recite. He was teaching his disciples something. Now, I want to point out here, and before I get into the teaching you to pray, it's interesting here, and this is just a side note for those of you that are taking notes and you're going here. Right in there is your will be done. Let's say that out loud. Your will be done. Isn't it interesting that Jesus himself prayed to the Father, your will be done? And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, and right before he was going to the cross, he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. You know, there's a big deal. Prayer's a big deal. Okay, and one of the things, and this isn't a major point, but one of the things that prayer does is it helps me submit to God's will. You can tell people who have a prayer life because they're regularly submitting to God's will. Now, you got to catch that. Now, notice I didn't say you have a prayer time. You did a prayer list. You have a prayer time. A prayer list and a prayer time are two different things. It's good to have a list, but it's more important to have a time. Are you good? You see, as I date my wife, Natalie, it's good to have a list when we go to the store, but she's more interested in spending time. Are you tracking me here? Right? I want to accomplish something. She wants to accomplish time with me because she loves me and digs me so bad. Right? Come on. Every man in the room right now should say, yeah. Come on. Am I right? See, it's not a prayer list, but it's submission to his will here. You know, prayer has a branding problem. I don't know if you know this. Prayer has a branding problem. Because some people in church, like you have real needs. We are praying for real needs, and they're very, very important to God. They're important to you today. That's why we spend time doing what we do like that, because that's important. Okay? But prayer has a branding problem. Sometimes you have a real need, and you go to your small group, and you have this real need, and somebody, you know, and somebody's like, they're doing silly little prayers. I don't know, God really showed up in my life this week. I went to the store. It was raining. I said, Jesus, give me a parking spot close to the door. And he miraculously did it. Isn't God good? And it's like, really? That's all you got to pray about? When in all honesty, you should have parked far away. You need to walk. That's what you're thinking, but you don't say it, right? You don't say those words, but that's what you're thinking. You're thinking, if I was God, you'd have walked extra far. Come on, somebody. That's what you're thinking, because you have a real need, right? Or how about this one? You know, I was just so confused. I got in my new car, and I was having trouble heating the seats. And I prayed, Jesus, help me find the right buttons. And he did. And meanwhile, your car needs a new engine. Huh? Come on, Pastor Ben. Come on, yeah. Am I right? And so prayer has a branding problem. And so we need to go back and say, Jesus gave us these answers here. He gave us a way to pray here. So what's the point of prayer? It's the presence of God that brings peace. That's number one here. It's the presence of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how I learned it. So I can't get that out of me there. You know, our Father who art in heaven, you know, is his middle name Art? I don't know what that means, you know. Who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the first thing that prayer does, you can tell because you have presence of God on you. And how do you know if you have presence? Because that feels like this Christian term. What does that mean? It means you have peace in the midst of a crazy, chaotic world. Do you live in my world? You can tell people, because prayer is so much more than just telling God what you want. It's a time with him. It's a devotion. It's a peace that he gives that goes way beyond what you can ever think or imagine. Just leave this verse on here. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is just Romans chapter 8. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He has not given me the spirit of fear, but he's given me the spirit by which I cry out, Abba, Father. I'm no longer a slave, but I'm a son. And it's the presence of God. And so when I sit with God, he gives me peace. When I spend time with him in his word, it the point of it is not just to get what I want, but it's to find a peace that we're all looking for. And there's people in this room right now, you don't have peace on your life. You're lacking peace. And I want to tell you, I'm not just going to say, well, you need Jesus, because that sounds so trivial. What we need is we need to realize who Jesus is. You don't just need information. You need a revelation of what he can do for you. And I didn't come here today to help you get more information, because quite frankly, you could have stayed home and got information. But what I came here to do is help reveal who God is. He's a God who sees, he knows, he cares, and he cares about what you're going through. But how do we know that? It's in my time with him. So let me try to give you an illustration. And I'm going to use just myself right now. I'm 3 weeks deep right now. And I got this pain in my head, right inside my ear. Not my ear, but in here. And it hurts so bad all the time. And I have prayed. I have laid hands on myself. I have, like, declared healing. I've done everything I can do. And it's getting a little better, but it's not really feeling that much better. I went to the doctor. I paid $50 the other day for the doctor to say, the pain's in your head. That's basically all they told me. And I said, yeah. I know where it's at. It is in my head. Like, they said, there's nothing wrong. And I'm like, well, if nothing's wrong, why does it hurt so bad? See, this is what we do to people in Christianity. We tell them that there's certain things they're going through and nothing's wrong, when really they still have pain. And I got this pain, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting over here, I'm worshiping, and I'm like, man, it's just, my head just feels like it's going to pop off my head for 3 weeks now. And but what I've had to do every morning, like I did this morning, and it's saying, man, I have pain. Now let me try to illustrate it in other ways that might speak to you. There are names that are going on in your life right now. Abandonment is a name. Rejection is a name. Cancer is a pretty big name. Unemployment is a name. Poverty is a name. Fear is a name. Pain is a name. God left me. God doesn't care about me. God has forgotten me. Am I right? You're tracking me so far. Track me. Here, stay with me. These are all names that literally, if we were to look in the Holy Ghost right now, so many people right now have a name above your heads right now. You have a name of something above you. Addiction, fear, anxiety, depression, no hope, no future. But prayer puts the name of Jesus. It doesn't deny those things. It says that Jesus is higher than those things. And so in a prayer time, the name of Jesus becomes bigger than those things. That's what I'm trying to communicate with you now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him, that's Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name. This is Philippians 2, 9 and 10. That at the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. It doesn't deny the problem. It says that Jesus is above the problem. And what Jesus does in my prayer time, just like he did this morning, when I got up early and I began praying for you, and I didn't just pray for this time, I prayed for you. I didn't just pray for this building, I prayed for you. And I prayed that everybody that was going to hear my words this morning, that somehow, that the name of Jesus was going to become bigger than what you're going through right now. And I'm not giving you a pat answer. I wish it was easier. I wish I would have just prayed 3 weeks ago and like, oh man, you're going to believe what happened. I just laid my hands on myself because I'm so holy. Listen to me. And God just miraculously healed me. No, my God can do what he wants to do, and I'm in his hands, but I am not going to bow down to the pain. I'm not going to deny it. But I'm not going to bow down to the depression or the anxiety or the fear or the worry. I'm going to, in my prayer time, Jesus becomes, takes his rightful place in my life. Are you with me? See, this is as we mature, as we grow more like Christ, this is something that we experience because he's in charge, I'm not in charge. So many areas of my life, even over the last month, 2 months, 3 months, have just begun to unravel. I've been having more opportunity to have the presence and peace of God in my life. Because more things are in turmoil than ever before. But you know what? I know where my hope is. I know who I am. I am a child of God. And that's what my prayer time does for me. And so when I talk fondly about getting up early in the morning, and I say this all the time, I'm going to say it again. Why do you get up so early? Somebody just asked me this week. Another pastor said, why do you get up so early? And I said, I can't help it. It just is a part of my life right now. I get up early and I want to talk to Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus before you get up and he has to deal with all your stuff. That's why I want to talk to Jesus early, because I want to get to him first. I want to be first in line. You see, he gets all my stuff and I get him. And how can you tell when somebody has a prayer time? They have peace in the midst of horrible circumstances. Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Everything. Everything is independence. This word worry, it means divided. It means distracted. I'm telling you, there's so many parts of my life right now, I feel divided. I feel distracted. I feel like I'm pulled away. And even preparing this message that Pastor Ben gave notes for, and I'm like, I'm meditating on all the alignment and not impressing God, and I'm meditating on. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need this word. So I've been spending the last 3 days preaching to myself. And some of the preaching was really good, and some of it was not so good. But I've been preaching to myself saying, Rick, your soul's going to bless the Lord. And I'm not going to be distracted with all this stuff. I'm going to focus on that God really does love me and he cares about me. And he has a plan that goes far beyond my stuff. And if you're just wanting a quick fix and everything's fine, I'm not saying God can't do that, but it doesn't normally work that way in my life. God likes to show himself to me through time and through circumstances. Are you with me? But I still have peace on my life beyond the pain. I still have peace on my life beyond the uncertainty. I have peace on my life through these things. And do I struggle? Yes, I do. And I think, this is my personal opinion. I believe Jesus struggled too, because if he was tempted in every way like you and me, then I believe he struggled to get peace too. But I believe he found the secret of it. He kept going to his Father and kept spending time with his Father. And so if Jesus needed to do that, I'm just trying to be like him. Are you with me right now? So what's the point of prayer? I'm just going to pray about everything. I'm going to confess my dependence on him. And so what does it mean when you end your prayer? And the more you hang out with Christians, the more they do this. At the end of every prayer, what do we say? In the mighty name of Jesus. You have to say it kind of like Jesus. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we use in the name of Jesus as like a pretty please dad. In the name of Jesus is not a pretty please. In the name of Jesus means consistent with the nature, the character, and purpose of God. And so we pray in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. So that means he's the name above every other name, right? Who gives peace, so can pray to God everything and confess it. And so to pray, let me try to give you a definition here. This is from the Greek word here, to pray, to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes, ideas, for his wishes as he imparts faith, divine persuasion to us. So as I receive divine persuasion that God has me, I'm his child, he knows what I need even better than I need. I know what I need. I confess my dependence on him. I have been persuaded. That's a prayer time. So what's the point of prayer? I tell God my wishes. He exchanges them with his wishes. And I find him in the peace in the process. See, the problem is we spend so much time talking to God, we forget that prayer is a talk with him. It's supposed to be a talk with him. There's supposed to be an exchange. I don't know about you. I don't like being in relationships where either A, I'm required to do all the talking, or I'm required to do all the listening. Come on. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. We're in church. But there's times we do that, am I right? We struggle. But that's not a relationship. A relationship is an exchange. And sometimes, how do you know if you have a real relationship? Because people tell you things you don't want to hear, but they love you anyhow. That's the relationship I have with my dad in heaven. I think the problem is, and Pastor Ben mentioned last week in his message, so often we come to church and we just want this formula. We just want this formula to, like, God, just give me the formula. Give me the automatic. Give me the automatic thing. Give me the sure thing, because that's what I want. And really what we're asking God for is I want to be self-dependent, not God-dependent. And I didn't come here to help you with your self-dependence. I came here to help you with your God-dependence. Because I'm totally dependent on him. That's why I'm just going to keep praying about everything and saying, God, you got me. You haven't let me down. In 45 years of being a follower of Jesus, God has never let me down. Either you're going to leave here really encouraged today or really depressed. I'm trying to encourage you. So what's the next thing that we get with God? How do you know if you're having a prayer time? The next thing is you get perspective. Perspective. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What I really need is a perspective from God. I need God's perspective. God, what are you doing? God, I can't see. I'm not sure. I don't know. And this is where a community of faith that was talked about last night, this is where a community of faith, we figure out together what God's doing. That's why I need people in my life to help me see when I can't see and to know when I don't know and to hear when I can't hear. Because really what we need is perspective. And a lot of times my circumstances don't change, but my perspective does. That's how you know you have time with God. I find that when I sit with him and I spend time with him and I say, Jesus, your name is above every other name. And so therefore, I am your child and you're my dad and I call you daddy. I call you Abba. That's what that word means, father, daddy. I'm enjoying the relationship I have with my grandkids, and they all call their mom and dad, mama and dada, and I just love that. I just think that's such a personal name. That's such a personal, so much relationship in that. And that's what my dad is to me. And I'm trying to give you my perspective of God is I'm just his child, and he's dad, and he has it covered. And I just want to stop for a moment. There's people in the room right now, and as I said that, something came up inside of you, and you feel really like you never had a dad like that. He was either absent or missing or harsh. So calling God daddy or papa or dada or Abba or something intimate is really difficult for you, but God wants to heal you of that. God wants to heal you of that. God wants to let you know that you're a child of his. You're a son. You're a daughter. I don't know. There's a lot of people in the room right now. That's you right now. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now. Just stand up right where you are. If you're listen, you've been hurt. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand up. Come on. Just stand up. Let's get healed right now. Let's get healed in this moment. Come on, let's get healed. Let's not look around. Listen, everybody has daddy issues. And those who don't have daddy issues, you probably got mommy issues. Just tell the truth. Shame the devil. So Heavenly Father, right now, I want you right now, just right where you are, just place your hand on your heart. The people stand. Just place here. Heavenly Father, there's a great, great group of people here that are trying to understand you as daddy right now. They're trying to get to understand you as Father, Lord, and wow. God, I pray, Father, you're going to use other people to bring healing to them. Not just healing, but bring them into a right relationship with you, Father. All the absentee dads out there, all the absentee dads or the harsh ones, the abusive ones, the verbal abusive ones, all those experiences that we had, Lord, we submit them to you, Father. And I just want to confess over those people standing right now, I just want to affirm you as a daughter. I want to affirm you as a son. I want to affirm you. And all I'm doing is speaking on behalf of God right now to your heart and saying that you are not an orphan. You are not on your own. You have not been abandoned. You are not lesser. You are not unworthy. You are a child of God. You are a daughter. You are a son. And God is so amped, and he's smiling over you right now. He's up in heaven smiling over this moment right now. So God, do a work in these hearts right now. Do a work. God, do a work beyond what we can ever think or imagine. Lord, let us see you as Father. Jesus' name, Lord. God, you can be seated. Thanks. Thanks for being vulnerable. Thanks for being transparent. Hey, let's never get so good at church we forget Jesus. Let's never get so good at trying to be all together that we forget that falling apart's when he shows up. I don't even know if I can finish this message right now. I don't even know what to do right now. But I do know this, that God's drawing us into him. So come on. I do know this, that what's the point of prayer? Is that we find Jesus and we see him and we experience him and we know him in a way beyond our natural thought process. Way beyond whatever we could think or imagine. That's what God is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, when we were praying this morning for you, there was a group of people here early praying for you. They were praying for you. They weren't praying for the church service. They were praying for you. Because you matter. You matter to God. And I just want to say, yeah, we need provisions and we need power and we need all this stuff, right? And the rest of the message is really cool. I don't know. I don't think anything I have to say from here on that I wanted to say is that important, because I want to stay in this moment. I just know, and I just want to share my heart with you. After 45 years of, we sang a song earlier about a lot of mountaintops and a lot of valleys. And a lot of challenges, and a lot of celebrations, and a lot of challenges. I just know this, that God still got me. And he has a future and a hope for me. Beyond whatever I can think or imagine, I want you to catch that. Beyond what you can ever think or what you can imagine in your life, I want you to catch that. That's a real dad. Because a real father thinks so much of you, they see so much for you than you could ever see in yourself. And for many of you, I'm just speaking as a spiritual dad right now. When God thinks of you, when he looks at you, he sees such good things. But he's not seeing more church services for you. I want you to catch this. He's not seeing, oh, because immediately, well, I'm not going to be a pastor, or I'm never going to preach, or I'm never going to go on missions trips like Pastor Gary all over the world. But you know what? God has a future and a hope for you right where you are, because you're valuable to him and you matter to him, and he sees and he knows and he cares. That's the point of prayer. And when we get that, and this is the game changer is this, is that when you start to see yourself the way God sees you, it's a game changer. It'll totally rock your world. It's going to rock your world when you see yourself the way Jesus sees you. It changes everything about your life. It changes the way you worship. It changes the way you give. It changes the way you do life on a regular basis, because he's there and he cares and he knows. And so the point of prayer, yes, it's submitting to his will. I submit to his will in the midst of pain, in the midst of a lot of pain. I submit to his will because he's great and I'm not that great. In that scripture, when I am weak, he is strong. And if that scripture, when I am weak, he is strong, if that's true, I'm a superhero right now. Because I am so weak in my own flesh, and I'm so weak in what I think, and what I know, and what I want to see happen. But that means God's strong, and he shows himself in the midst of my weakness. And we spend most of our time trying to hide our weakness rather than just reveal it and say, I need you and I need God to help me even in the midst of my unbelief. So, Father God, I pray over every person here today. Lord God, I just pray, Father, that the point of prayer and finding you and finding who you are would be a reality in their lives, Lord. God, forgive us for trying to impress you with our all-together lives. And forgive us for trying to impress everybody at church that we're all together as well. Lord God, just use this time and use this moment, use this place as your breeding ground for faith. That we would exchange our human wishes with your divine wishes. And let us find you, the name of Jesus, it's far above every other name. Let us find you and know you, God. in a really real way. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus the way I'm talking about Jesus, if you don't have a day or a moment where you begin a relationship with him, I want you to have a relationship with him. Because you can't have a prayer time without a relationship, because it's a communication time. And if you don't have a day, a moment, or time where you began that relationship, there's a good chance you never began a relationship. You began a religion, and a religion is man's attempt to please God. You've been trying to please God with your own attempt. And the only way we can please God is because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus on the cross. The only way we have forgiveness. The only way we have true peace. So if that's you today, and you'd like to begin a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, that's what I want to invite you to. And I'm going to just do it this way. I'm running late today, and there's a tap card on the seats in front of you. And if that's you, I want you to do something very personal, not private, but very personal. I want you to take your phone and you hold it up there, and then you click on the link, and it says, I want to begin a relationship. I think I'm saying it right. And you click on that, and I want you to fill it out, and then I'm going to pray for you this week. I'm going to keep praying for you that your prayer time gets like, not like my prayer time, I want you to have a better one. But I'm praying that your prayer time, that you get perspective and you get peace and you get presence. So right now, just take out your phone and hold it up there. Click that link. What's it say? Yeah, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Not really, just take, you're going to be using that to give in just a few moments. So you might as well go ahead and tap it and use that. So Heavenly Father, thanks for the privilege of being with this great group of people. And use the rest of our time, the rest of this week, to help us be more like you. Not impress you, but impart to us. In Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for being so great. Sam, come on up and tell us how we can finish up here today.